You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Pastor Jim is teaching verse by verse through the book of Luke. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. You can also call the church office at 913-681-1635. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
Now, look at this next verse 43, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She's desperate also. And for 12 years, she's been suffering. She had spent everything she had trying to get well, but none of them could help her. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped. So much to think through as she's completely outcast from all of society. You know, we've gone through the law and these things. She's completely an outcast. She can't go to worship. All of society has ostracized her. She's just stuck out there. So she's really taking a big risk even going into a crowd like this. Even getting up and you know, getting out physically was a lot for her. And yet she, by faith, is getting up out of that spot and coming to where Jesus is to meet up with Jesus. This whole idea of as she touched the hem of his garment, that border, you remember what the border of the garments were on them? They were that blue that was woven in and at the base, and it was to represent heaven. This was woven in at the bottom, and it's to represent a heavenly, you know, idea, the fact that this is not home. Ultimately, we're part of another destination. And so this is all woven around the base, and she touched him. Now, this is touching that wasn't the healing thing, right? We can get this idea that, oh, well, it's that. We got to just get some blue garment. Like, oh, God, yeah. That's not what it's all about. It was about the fact that it was a point of contact for her, a point of release, a place where she could release her faith, where she said, man, if I could just get to that place, I know I might not be able to touch him, but as close as I can get to reach out and touch him. Do you think that way? Do we think like that? I want to do everything I can to just get as close as I can to touch Jesus. Just to touch him. Jesus said, who touched me? What's going on? Who touched me? He sensed the power come out from him. He sensed the release. He sensed the release of that healing touch upon her life. When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the disciples just go, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? Are you kidding me? Look at what realm they're in. Look at what realm we're in, you know, sometimes. What do you mean, you know, that I can just reach out and touch the Lord? What do you mean? You see, by faith, this is all ours. He's here. He wants to minister. He wants to love on you. He wants to meet your need. He wants to meet you right where you're at, whatever your struggle, whatever your issue, whatever's happening, he wants to touch you as you reach out to touch him by faith. And Jesus said, somebody touch me, for I perceived power going out from me. You know, even though she was probably pretty bummed out, pretty depressed, pretty bummed on life, ostracized from the community and so on, can't go really and get involved in any public worship, she still sought out time to go spend with, to find Jesus and to be with Jesus. You ever think about that for yourself? Seek out that time, seek out those moments that you can be with Jesus, that you can touch him, that you can interact with him. Man, she sought out that opportunity. He was coming through and she was going to get there one way or the other. Now, when the woman saw that she was not hidden, you see, she's been healed. She's been touched. There's no closet Christians. You hear what I'm saying? There's no closet Christians. She's been touched. If you've been touched by Jesus, it will be clearly revealed to others around you. If you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you can never be the same. Don't try to be. Don't think about it. You can never be the same if you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And the most miserable, miserable people on the face of this earth are those people who have known Jesus Christ, who have tasted of the goodness of God and are not journeying with him any longer. I've been that person, so I know the miserable sense that that is. It's awful because you are walking around with a conscience. You can't have the fun that everybody else is having because you've got a conscience. You feel actually bad about it. This is the part that nobody tells you when sin's sneaking around with its allure to draw you in. Nobody tells you about that part. But no, it won't be as fun as it looks. It won't be as grand as it seems. Because you'll feel sickened with yourself and your sin. You see, the natural man doesn't know that. But the carnal, you see, the one who is spiritual and now governed by the flesh is a carnal person and a carnal believer. And there, it's different for them. Believe me. I know by experience, and it's awful. It's awful, it's awful, it's awful. And my friends call me that, the conscience. And I didn't want to disclose why I had the conscience. It's sick. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I went back to all those friends, my really, really close friends, and I shared Jesus Christ with them. And I apologized and I repented for the fact that I was not true to who I really am. It's awful. But it's great, though, because a lot of those guys got saved. A lot of those people came to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, that was one of my buddy's sons. That buddy is one of those buddies that I shared Jesus with after I'd gotten plugged back. He was not familiar with that, and I shared the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he, too, is a follower. And now, not only is he a father, but I get to do the wedding of his son, who's a follower of Jesus Christ. It's kind of exciting. Next generation. That's the good stuff that happens as we follow Jesus Christ. That's the good stuff. This gal couldn't be hidden. Her life couldn't be hidden any longer. She came trembling and falling down before Jesus in verse 47, about midway. She declared to him in the presence of all the people. She shouldn't even be in the crowd. Remember that. She's not supposed to be amongst everybody. Unclean. She's not supposed to be in the group. You ever feel like that sometimes? You ever feel like that sometimes? I do. Man, I'm just not worthy, man. I'm just messed up. You know? That's reality. We feel that way sometimes. But man, the sense of the presence of the Lord is powerful, and we need to embrace that. She declared to him in his presence, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him. And how she was healed immediately. She declared publicly what Jesus has done for her. And she said to all those, even in the group that she wasn't even supposed to be there, she declared to them that Jesus had healed her, had touched and ministered to her. You know, it's interesting. You can think, well, why did Jesus put her on the spot like that? You see, Jesus knows everything. He knows that it was her. He knew all along that it was her. The disciples missed the boat, right? Because it was all about faith. They're not doing well on the test, I understand. But we didn't do so well either a lot of times. But the concept here is powerful. To think that these guys missed it. But Jesus knew exactly. Why did he call her out? Why did he make her say what she didn't want to say in front of her because she's not even supposed to be there? Read on. And he said to her, "Daughter," man, a term of endearment, a word of love, a word of affectionate care. "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your brave behavior, your ability to come forward in a time of struggle, the fact that you really have a lot of love. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. She trusted Jesus. She believed Jesus could fix what was wrong. And she stepped out way outside what was comfortable, way outside what was acceptable by the societal norms, and went forward. Jesus called her out for others to see because he wanted to make a point. Your faith, because you came out and you stepped, your faith is what he's honoring. See, but as we gather together, that's what we want to exercise, our faith in Jesus Christ. We want to honor the Lord by faith. We believe in things yet unseen. This is exciting as we watch. Now, let's get back. We've got another one still happening with Jairus. Let's get back to the story too. Verse 49, and while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. Don't bother him any further with this. She's already gone. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid. What does he encourage him with? What does he encourage him with? Do not be afraid. Don't get freaked out with fear. Don't get gripped and immobilized. Don't just stand there and get run over by the semi, like what happens to deer. You know, don't do any of those things. What does he say? Do not be afraid. Only believe. Exercise your faith. Believe, and she will be made well. Man, I'm telling you, he's standing in this crowd. He's trying to get Jesus' attention to get over and to get to the house. Someone else comes up, and now there's this, what I would perceive as Holy Spirit interrupt us. He's going one direction, something's happening. Now there's a no, we're going to do this. And Jairus is probably just thinking, oh, dude, come on, man. My daughter is deathly, you come now, you know? Don't worry about her, she's all messed up. But see the heart of Jesus and his ability to do many things, what your need is, many things at one time. Many things can be happening right now, whatever your need. Jesus can be ministering, touching, healing, caring, loving on, meeting those deepest parts of need that we might have. Only believe, just exercise that faith, Jairus, just exercise, believe. Not just in air, not just in the fact of faith for faith. Believe in whom? Jesus. That Jesus is able. And do you believe even one step further that he knows what's best for you? What about that? That he knows what's best for you. Do you believe him beyond just the healing touch and that he would do what is absolutely best for you? What if he decides to leave you in a state of struggle? What if he decides to do that? That happens to us. What if he decides to do that? Do you have faith to believe that he's doing what is best and what ultimately will bring him good pleasure? When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. We'll talk about that in just a second. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. They said, man, you don't know anything about this. Ridiculing, making fun of, but he put them all outside. Why? Because they don't have and they aren't exercising what? There's no faith in any of that. It's hopeless. It's hopeless. We can't do any more for this situation. It's hopeless. What about that friend that you have? What about that acquaintance? What about that business person? What about that coworker? They're hopeless. They are debased, just messed up,
people. The world's just messed up, man. You know, yeah, I know. God knows it. So what? What's new? Get a new news flash. That's not brand new information. You're messed up too, but you got Jesus. It's not brand new data. You know, we get this stuff like, oh yeah, brand new, oh yeah. You know, everything's all messed up. Well, it's hopeless. These people are crying out, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. What else can we do? Are you praying? Remember how he told us to sow the seed? And he said to sow it in expectation. Is hopelessness sowing in expectation? I would say no. When you're saying, well, I'm just going to pray for them, but I know it's not going to help, but they're just too messed up, you know? Well, that's not, you know, I don't even know if that's worth praying, really, unless you're going to be real honest with God and say, God, I don't even want to pray for them. I'm trying to do it out of obedience, and I hate them. I think God might honestly honor that more than just this, well, it's hopeless, but I'm just going to, well, God, I just hope you know. It's ridiculous. They don't work. It doesn't match. There's got to be an expectation and the reality that, hey, it doesn't matter what anybody's done or who they are, but that all can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if they will repent and give their life to Jesus Christ. That's how we got in. We got in no other way, and it doesn't matter the least of sin, the greatest of sin, whatever measuring thing you want to use for that, whatever scale you want to use in your mind, God says sin is sin. It separates us from him, period. So whatever scale you use to measure it out doesn't really matter to me. The reality is sin. It separates us from God. So is anybody out of the reach of God, though, based on the blood of Jesus Christ? See, this is, we've got to remember this. Is it hopeless? This is, these people had to what? They were put out, just go outside. He took her by the hand and called her, saying, little girl, arise. And her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And when he commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them all to tell no one what had happened. Again, he's trying to not create a circus environment. He's trying to not, there's a time when there's going to be clearly stated, and we've come to that before, you know, when he's going to be seen for who he is. It's not time for that yet. I doubt too many people could keep silent, though. If your 12-year-old little daughter was laying there lifeless, and Jesus speaks the word, it'd be hard to be quiet, wouldn't it? It is interesting to me, as he brings these guys in, three different times, you know, these guys are brought into special John, Peter, and James. Three times they're kind of pulled aside. Now, Gail Irwin, some of you are familiar with Gail Irwin's ministry, but he says that it was probably that they couldn't be trusted to be left alone. I think that's possible. I like that thought. I like that concept. That's possible. Here they're brought into a situation where they get to watch the victory that's there, don't they? They get to see the conquering one take over death. It's great. The next time they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration, man, they get to see Jesus in all his glory. Actually, what he would be like in his glorified state, right? This is where he's going back to. He's sitting there just interacting. They're just kind of observing. He's interacting with Elijah and Moses in the Mount of Transfiguration. And then, as Jesus was yielding himself, that third time, he's yielding himself. He's in the garden. You remember that situation there? He's yielding himself to the ultimate sacrifice of his life. He's going to be crucified. He's yielded to the death that's coming, the physical death that's coming. Interesting when you look, go back and you look at these guys. They tried to kill John. They tried to get rid of him. The kind of things that he would suffer. They try to boil him in an oil. They cast him out on the island of Patmos. Leave him there. Think of what he wrote about, the whole first chapter in Revelation. The glory of who he is. He's now glorified and sitting at the right hand of the Father. That whole first chapter is who Jesus is right now, who he is, to encourage the church, the body of Christ, to know that he's on the throne, he rules and reigns. Because they were under tremendous persecution, that first century church. Tremendous persecution. Uses him to author that. Peter ends up crucified upside down on a cross. These are all good preparation things, don't you think? James was the first one to be martyred. First of the disciples, first of the apostles to go. All these things are all in preparation. Jesus brought them along. So, you know, don't worry so much who goes with whom where and what goes on. Man, know that it's Jesus that's doing the training every step of the way because he knows what's coming. He's preparing you for the journey that you're on. He wants to do that work in your life that only he can do. You know, as we close out right now, one of the things that I'd like you to think on, because these things are good to ponder, and I think we can feel, I can feel challenged when I think of faith in this way. But what did Jesus say about faith? If you have faith the size of this building, then man, everything's going to go. What did he say? A mustard seed is this the smallest of all. I mean, it's barely a little speck. If you even just have that and exercise that faith, you can move mountains. That's what Jesus said, right? What's the concept that he's trying to import to us? Don't worry. Whatever faith that you have, exercise it. Use it. Walk in it. Trust him. If it's just a little bit, don't diminish its value. Don't diminish it. Don't say, well, I just don't know if I have enough. No, just use it. Exercise that little bit that you got. I think that's the real lesson in this. Because sometimes we can get so bogged down. We get so bummed out. We think, well, I'm not one of the, you know. We get all these reasons and excuses. Just whatever you have, whatever faith you have, exercise that. Trust the Lord. God will honor that and he will meet you right where you are. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know a lot of times as we listen to the word, sometimes we really get convicted by God's word. And you know, there's those times where we really need to repent and give our lives over to the Lord. The Bible, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, death is something, this destructive force, and it's this thing that, you know, our bodies are in this slow decay process, and you know, ultimately we all are going to have a physical death, but spiritually you don't have to die. We would die in our sin if not for the gift of God, and that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we want to receive that gift. We don't want to be paid the wages of our sin. We want to have everlasting life. And so you can pray this simple prayer of faith. If you've been, you know, listening and just hearing and just knowing that, man, God's tugging on your heart and you just know that there's something more to this life. Well, God wants to make himself real to you, just like he's done in my life as I was once troubled and struggling and distant from God, partying, trying to drown all my sorrows, as it were. But you know, the Lord is there and he loves you and wants to meet you right where you're at. Just pray this simple prayer along with me. It doesn't matter whether you're driving or out on a walk, just with your earbuds in, just in a place where you can listen on your computer, wherever you might be. If you're listening to this right now, you can pray this simple prayer and have everlasting life. Jesus, I want to ask that you'd forgive me of all my sin. I want to ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior. I give my life to you. I don't want the wages of sin, which is death, but I want that gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus, my Lord now. I'm thankful, Lord, for your forgiveness. And I just ask that, Lord, as
I start this new life. You'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might please you and bring you glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus,